I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the hour, we're going to look ahead to next week's St. Louis Cabaret Festival. Marilyn May gained national attention from her 76 appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. She's returning to St. Louis to headline this year's festival. We're going to talk to her about that and her musical salute to Frank Sinatra. And on our monthly soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine, we'll identify the locations of St. Louis's top happy hours. Cinema St. Louis's Filmmakers Showcase begins on Sunday and runs through Thursday at the Tivoli Theater. Coming up, we're going to meet two directors whose films will be screened. Chris Grega's documentary chronicles the events that birthed the hobby of World War II reenacting, and Effie Da Silva's feature film tells the story of an inner-city teenager trying to make a better life. But first, please welcome Chris Clark, Cinema St. Louis's artistic director. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Good to be here.
So how many films altogether in this five-day festival?
This year we'll have 88 films from a wide spectrum of filmmakers, from some three plucky 13-year-olds who are middle school who made a very interesting narrative short subject, up to high school students, college students, and adult professionals who are filmmakers.
Are there usually filmmakers that young in?
We pick what we think are the best things. Either often there's a small handful of youngsters that, you know, try their hand, and usually they, you know, have a vision, so they come in.
And all films have a St. Louis connection of some sort. It could be a lot of different things.
That is the common denominator of all the filmmakers. This is a celebration of filmmaking in St. Louis. Each year we allow a few expatriates to participate who have escaped our shores of the Mississippi and work in Newark, L.A., Chicago, something like that. But, you know, they have roots here, deep roots.
Now, how many films did you say? Did you say 80-something?
88.
88. How many were submitted?
Each year, it's almost exactly the same. Each year, there's about 120 or so submitted. And, you know, it's great fun to watch them pop in, you know, through the mail and through email. And, you know, I just sit down and watch them, you know, one by one. And it's remarkable the changes in digital technology have really opened the playing field to people with smaller budgets,
right,
who can tell great stories.
Right. Well, we're going to meet in just shortly two of this year's filmmakers. Why did you choose these two?
I've worked with Chris for a very long time, and I always like his vision and style. This is he's dipping his toes now at long last into the documentary genre, and this is just a fascinating peek at this, you know, subculture of people who, to this day, you know, do these civil, or not civil, well, that too, but World War II reenactments, mm-hmm, and with, you know, full dress and tanks and, you know, like really military exercise, just for fun.
And Effie Da Silva?
Effie Da Silva, this was for a first feature. It's a remarkable, although quiet and small film in some ways, it's just a remarkable achievement in writing and acting, directing and cinematography. What a treat to see this blossoming talent.
We'll talk to Effie in just a minute. Please welcome Chris Grega, the director of Weldon Krieg. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hello, Steve. I'm doing pretty good.
So translate Weldon Krieg for me. I only speak English.
Weldon War, essentially.
And it refers to Weldon Springs.
Yes,
Weldon Springs, Missouri. Yeah. So this is it's a documentary about a bunch of men who started these World War II reenactments originally back in the 70s at some point.
Yeah, the mid-70s. I had no idea that World War II reenacting as a hobby, as a thing to do, actually started in Weldon Spring, Missouri in the 70s.
Well, how did you get turned on to this?
Well, about 10 years ago, I started on a feature film called Rhineland, which was a World War II narrative story, which took 3 years to make. And over the course of that, I made contacts with these different reenactment groups, and I stayed in contact with these guys over the years. And on Facebook, I kept seeing them posting about this thing called Weldon Krieg. And finally, I asked one of them, I said, okay, what's Weldon Krieg? And then they told me, and I said, oh, somebody should make a documentary about that.
Early on the movie, somewhere, I had a chance to see it yesterday, and said, I loved the little phrase you use, a true story about a pretend war.
Yeah, well, a true story about pretend war, because that's what they do. I mean, it's all true. It's all real. All the things they use are accurate and in some cases original. But, you know, it's a reenactment. It's pretend. They're shooting blanks.
Any comments, Chris, on his film?
It was so much fun to watch these people. And what was really interesting to me is there was a number of teenagers and young 20-somethings in there who were just as excited as the older people, some of which were, you know, in their 40s and 50s, and some of which were older than that, who had, you know, been around during that time. But these young people who were so excited to be it and wanted to join the military was really a revelation.
That jumped out at me, too, because you start by hearing from a couple of the guys who started this whole thing years ago, and then all of a sudden there's this young guy in there, and he's just as enthusiastic about it.
Yeah. I mean, the subject, I guess, for some people, it never gets old. And that's sort of what these guys want to do. It's what they preach is, you know, keeping it alive, the memory. And someone asked me a few days ago, what's the average age of reenactors? And they expected me to say 40 or 50. I said, no, probably around 25. If you skew it because of the young guys who are 18 and 19 versus, you know, the older guys.
Well, Walden Krieg opens, and early on, there's a couple of the gentlemen, I think, that first started this whole thing back in the 70s. They're talking about the type of military paraphernalia that they collect. And for some of them, they spend a lot of money on this.
Yeah. I mean, this can run into thousands and in some cases millions of dollars collecting this stuff. I saw one collection of vehicles which was estimated at about $13 million.
Wow. So they get – was it a once-a-year thing? Once a year?
Walden Krieg is, yeah. But these things go on all over the country now.
But the one here was – pretty big and significant. What I got from your film was if, when they didn't have the Weldon Springs to go to, they had to go to Ohio or somewhere.
When they didn't have Weldon Springs, they didn't have anything. This is what started it. And it went on for 15 years, and then the government decided, hey, we should clean up this site because there's been a lot of nuclear dumping here, and you know, which had to happen.
Because there was a TNT plant or something that dates back to World War II there.
Right? Yeah, a TNT plant, which was the largest in the world at the time, and then it became a facility that processed uranium for nuclear weapons.
So at some point during the documentary, you finally get to the real reenactment, and
yeah.
you filmed some of the real stuff. It looks awfully real. What was it like to be there?
I got to say it was pretty exciting because we had a team of five out there embedded with both sides, kind of like combat photographers. So it was kind of scary, kind of intense, and kind of fun at the same time. I mean, I spent a day riding around in the back of a German motorcycle.
Wow. Cinema St. Louis presents the St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase, and Walden Krieg is going to be screened Sunday, that's July 19th, 4 p.m. at the Tivoli. And go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape for more information. And one more thing before I let you go. I noticed I didn't see any women there. I was wondering if women just aren't interested in participating?
No, there's a handful, and there's some who do combat impressions. Full-on weapons and helmets and uniform and the whole nine yards.
Is Hot Lips Houlihan there?
I didn't see her.
I was looking. That was Korea. Never mind.
That's Chris Grega, director of Walden Krieg. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you, Steve.
And we also have Chris Clark, Artistic Director of Cinema St. Louis, with us. And now on the phone from New York, please welcome Elfie Da Silva. She is the writer and director. That's Effie Da Silva, excuse me. Writer and director for Four Way Stop. Hi, Effie. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. You're in New York now. You lived in St. Louis for a long time and went to school there. How long have you been in New York?
I've been here for about 5 years.
What does the title of your film, Four Way Stop, mean or refer to, Effie?
It has a double meaning. The film is very much inspired by St. Louis and growing up in St. Louis, and many people who are there know that there are more stop signs than people. So that's one connection. But then there's also the main character in the film who, everywhere he turns, he's facing some sort of an obstacle. So it's not, there are no green lights, there are no yields, it's just, okay, I need to stop for a minute, reassess my situation, and try to figure out where to turn to next.
And, of course, a lot of the film, or just about all the film, I guess, was shot in North St. Louis. And it's there's a beauty to the starkness and the poor neighborhoods. There's some sort of beauty. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a really, you know, you see the brick homes and you know, the different apartment styles and, you know, the little places where people live and work. And just everything about it was so natural. The dialogue and the acting was just so real and from the heart.
And maybe we should give Hannah Radcliffe a shout-out, Effie.
I think we definitely should give Hannah Radcliffe a shout-out. We shot in South St. Louis for the majority of the film, actually. And Hannah, in my opinion, and I hope after many people see the film and almost everyone's opinion, is one of the best cinematographers coming out of St. Louis. And I was very fortunate. I think we all were very fortunate to be able to work with her.
So Four Way Stop tells a story of this teenager. I think he's 17. His name is Alan. It's a long story, but he's got a complicated life. His mother's kind of a mess. She has a live-in boyfriend that's no better. His dad is addicted to drugs. What's interesting to me, Effie, was all, I think Four Way Stop wrapped just maybe weeks before the events in Ferguson, and yet it sort of echoes some of those themes. That was just by accident, but what timing, huh?
What timing is correct, and I think I remember when I decided that I wanted to write it, it was very much based off of what I saw around St. Louis about people who were similar to me, about kids that I see in the neighborhood, about different neighborhoods that I went into, that I went to school within, that were a lot better off than the one that I lived in, and the perceptions that people from one neighborhood had of the other. And I wanted to bring some sort of a reality to this person versus the stereotype that people have of him or them, so that we're better able to relate with each other.
Well, I want to say that I have a small part in this film, and what you just said made me think of the scene that I'm in, because it's a good example of this young guy being stereotyped because of the way he looks, because he doesn't have khaki pants, right?
Correct. You had a great role in this film. And I think it was one of the strongest scenes that we, there were very many strong scenes in my opinion, but I'm not biased, as you would know. But yeah, you played one of the roles that set up an example of what we've just been explaining.
Yeah. And it doesn't exactly have a happy ending. We don't want to give that away, but.
It's not a film that's intended to make you laugh, but there are definitely parts where you may. It's very slice of life. It's more of a film that's intended to make you step back and think and reflect and try to figure out how we move forward.
What did you learn doing this? Is this your first feature? I think Chris may have said that.
It is, yes. It was.
Why did you decide to come back? You've been in New York a while. Why did you decide to come back to St. Louis to make it?
Because it's very much about St. Louis. I never pictured it being shot anywhere else. I think that St. Louis has a great community. St. Louis has a great community to do something like that. I know that if I shot it here in New York or in LA, there would be location fees and lots of red tape, permits for this, costs for that. Mm-hmm. And We didn't have a budget to do anything like that, but we decided. I decided to make it in St. Louis. It had never crossed my mind to do it anywhere else.
Four Way Stop screens Thursday. That's next Thursday, 7:15 at the Tivoli. Effie Da Silva is the writer and director of Four Way Stop. Thank you so much, and it was an honor working with you. And I want to thank you for that. So, and I haven't seen
Likewise.
It, so I'll see you at the screening on Thursday.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Effie.
Thank you.
So, Chris, give me some idea of some of the other films that are in the festival.
Like I mentioned earlier, just a wide, wide spectrum.
Well, let me throw a couple out to you.
Okay.
Well, there's one that deals with the blues music. And just the other day, I was down at the future site of the American Blues Museum mm-hmm. downtown. So, what's this one about?
This is called America's Blues, and it's a feature-length documentary about the history of blues in America. You know, hence the title. And it's a nice cross-section of lots of different artists and, you know, their journeys through, through the music industry and, you know, where they are now and why people are still interested in that style.
We've had Brian Jun on this program before. I think it was just last year. He's back with another one.
A feature-length narrative feature called Sleep With Me, starring one of his perennial co-stars, Raymond Barry, shot on Alton and up around on the other side of the river.
Yeah, he did a film a few years before that with America Fiera mm-hmm. that was shot around Alton, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So he's a great, great indie filmmaker, and, you know, we're glad to have him, you know, working amongst us here in St. Louis.
What would you recommend? There are so many films. You said 80-something. So when people want to try to figure out when to go and what to see, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, 88 is overwhelming to see. But, you know, we have – most of them are short subjects, and they're segregated into – comedy shorts are in a comedy program. Dramatic shorts are in one of several dramatic shorts programs. There's an experimental shorts program. So everything's listed on our website with images and trailers in some cases and descriptions of all the films. So please take a minute inside because it's too hot outside and look at our website, cinemastlouis.org, and look with the showcase tab. And everything's listed chronologically by program.
And you can go by the Tivoli box office ahead of time or order tickets online.
Either way.
Right. And then you have an awards party. In fact, the movie that I'm part of, Effie's movie that we just talked about, Four Way Stop, I think it'll be the last film of the festival on Sunday. And right after that, down the street of Blueberry Hill, you're going to have an after party that everyone's invited to?
It's free and open to the public as long as you're 21 years of age or older because there are liquor laws. So we have this awards party. We do this every year. And the St. Louis Film Critics Association just met in our offices down the street last night and chose all the awards. So I'm the holder of the information right now, and I can't wait to announce these things next week.
Well, I'll see you at the after party.
Great.
Cinema St. Louis presents the St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase running July 19th through the 23rd. Go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape for more information. We hope to see you out. See how many of those 88 films you can see. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, the St. Louis Cabaret Festival. This is St. Louis Public Radio.